Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing racism in the church as it pertains to anger. And before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. Father, I thank you for all of your grace and all of your mercy, God. I thank you for your purpose that you planted within us, God. Father, I thank you for you giving us a desire to seek your glory in all things, God, by humbling ourselves to your will, God, so that we can be used by you as vessels of honor, God. Father, I thank you for your purposes being fulfilled in the word that goes forth tonight, God, so that people can be at peace and people can come closer to relationship with you, God, so that we can get past the past and walk into the fullness of our future with you. I thank you for all that you've accomplished through your Son, Jesus Christ, God. Father, I thank you for him being the master of our life. I thank you for you getting much glory out of our submission to your Son, God. Father, I thank you for you giving us a clear path and a clear purpose, and allow us to praise you, God, as we exalt your holy name by exalting your Son, Jesus Christ, God. Father, I thank you for all these things. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. Well, tonight we're going to be discussing racism in the church, and we're going to discuss it in the context of anger issues, because many people are angry. Many people are simply angry, and sometimes they're angry because they feel like they don't have enough opportunity. Some people are angry because they feel like they don't have enough resources. Some people are angry because of things that have happened in the past that cannot be changed. Some people are angry because the things that they see around them every day are unjust. And we know that we serve a God of justice. And yet, we feel that it is not God's will for us to be subject to injustice. And you know, it is not God's will for us to allow the devil to openly abuse and misuse his people. And when I say that it is not God's will for the devil to be able to openly abuse and misuse God's people, I mean that. I mean people of all races, people who are rich, people who are poor, people who are ethnicity or language. If you are of the household of faith, and Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is your master, God's desire for you is that you're free. And what that means is that you're free to obey your Heavenly Father by forgiving men of all transgressions, as you've been forgiven of all transgressions. But it also means that we are to be especially kind, especially merciful to those in the body of Christ. See, there are people among us who are growing. They are developing. They are at different stages of development in their walk with Jesus Christ. As they progress, they are going to learn what the love of God looks like. But we know that we didn't just get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and confess that Jesus Christ was our master, Lord of our life. We didn't just turn away from serving sin and everything got perfect immediately. we just didn't do it like that. It wasn't instantaneously this to that. Our growth, our development is a daily process of renewing our mind to the Word, being transformed as we study God's Word so that we can really put on the mind of Christ. We know that the mind of Christ was powerful but humble. The mind of Christ was deliberate but careful. The mind of Christ always walked in love because the main objective was to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then to love ourselves so that then we would be able to love others. And that love would extend even to our enemies. But before we get to loving our enemies, we are to love those of the household of faith. We're to prefer one another. What does that mean? Well, as it pertains to race, what it means is that your brother or sister in Christ who is of another race is to be preferred among someone who is not in the body of Christ, who happens to be the same race as you. Right? We love everybody, but we prefer those in the household of faith. Now, if your love for your people, your love for your race drives you to go out and get all of those people and bring them into the body of Christ, that can't necessarily be a bad thing, but I don't believe it's going to glorify God the same way as if you approach everyone that God puts in your path with the same enthusiasm about the love of God, the same enthusiasm about the Word of God, the same enthusiasm about the kingdom of God that you have with those who are like you, who live in your neighborhood, who go to your school, who go to your church, and I almost want to say your assembly, because the church is the body of Christ. The body of Christ has one head. The head of the body of Christ is Jesus Christ, who was a Jewish man of Semitic origin. And we have to understand that. We have to understand that in race relations as it pertains to the church, all families of the earth, all races of mankind have been blessed through Abraham according to the Word of God. And we were all blessed through Abraham because Jesus Christ extends from the covenant of God with Abraham, that Semitic origin. And when we really, really get down to what God is doing in the earth, He is showing us that He has a plan that is perfect. He has a plan that cannot be fouled up by the ways of man. What that means is if Jesus Christ is returning for a church without spot, without blemish, we are going to have to get our act together. We are seriously going to have to get to the next level of saying that we are in agreement with God, that there is no Jew, no Gentile, no barbarian, no Scythian, no bond nor free as it pertains to the body of Christ, and begin to walk in that boldly, declaring that the love of God is available to all men and women and children. The freedom that we have in Christ is available to all who will make Jesus Christ master of their life and acknowledge Him as the Son of God, so that God can then present Him or her to his Heavenly Father. And when we take that position, we understand that we are those who are the ministers of reconciliation in the earth. See, every born-again Christian is a minister of reconciliation. That big fancy word, reconciliation, means to bring those who were taken out of their natural place in relationship with God back when Adam sinned, and putting them back in that place of favor that they were always designed to be in. Reconciling them back to God is us continuing the mission of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when he was on earth. Because when Jesus Christ was on earth, he was reconciling all of mankind back to God Almighty, his Heavenly Father. Now that it's God in Christ and Christ in us, we are continuing that very same mission. That is our job. That is our purpose. That is our mandate. That is our joy. And that joy is not limited to those who sound like us, talk like us, live like us, eat like us, drive like us, or any other limitation we would choose to place on these things for whatever reason. Now, I'll tell you one of the main reasons why race is such a serious issue in the church is because fear has taken hold of many. And that happened before you were saved. And it has caused many to say they are going to resist the purposes of God of creating a heavenly kingdom of many nations, and they're going to create an earthly kingdom of one nation in their church, in their neighborhood, in their community. And as a result of that, we've ended up with churches that simply don't look like the kingdom of God. We've ended up with the majority of churches that simply look like a local neighborhood club of those who happen to be of the same ethnicity, the same language, the same social class in many cases. And we have missed the opportunity to see how big the body of Christ is, to understand that our assembly is an opportunity to begin to reflect what the kingdom of God is going to be in eternity. Because if you believe the kingdom of God is going to look like your monochromatic church, you're mistaken. You're sorely mistaken. But I want to speak specifically to this issue that I've identified, is anger being one of those issues that creates a wedge between believers, because sometimes we are operating out of the flesh. Sometimes we are pleasing people. Sometimes we are serving money. Sometimes we're leaning to our own understanding. And sometimes we're operating out of our own limited strengths, talents, and abilities. And I can tell you that if that's what you're doing, then you are operating and living as a carnal Christian. And you are going along to get along, and you are receiving your reward of man. And what you're doing in the process of doing that is you are forfeiting your reward from God. You're forfeiting your eternal reward. You're forfeiting the opportunity to glorify God here now and be glorified by God, because you're willing to settle for some money. You're willing to settle for the approval of people. You're willing to settle for being comfortable according to your understanding of how you think things ought to be, and you're letting well enough be good enough for you. You're settling. and you are relying wholly on your own physical strengths, talents, and abilities instead of tapping into the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit. See, when you are an actual Christian, when you are truly loving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, when you are truly loving yourself, and then you're truly loving others, preferring those in the household of faith, but letting your love even extend to your enemies, right? You are receiving your eternal reward. You're glorifying God right now. You are not a carnal Christian. You are an actual Christian. You operate in the full, unlimited power of the Holy Spirit. You trust God, not yourself. You please God and not others, not people. And you serve God and not money. So you're free. You're not limited. You're not bound. You're not restricted. And then God is able to take the increase from your life, the fruit that is generated by your obedience to Him. And He's able to take the seeds that come from that fruit and produce more of the kingdom through you. See, love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control, those things are all antithetical to the spirit of Antichrist. They're antithetical to racism. They're antithetical to bigotry. They're antithetical to prejudice. See, the fruit of the Spirit is contrary to all of those things that are endorsed by carnal Christianity. Carnal Christianity puts money first, politics first, puts looking good and being comfortable with yourself first, and make sure that you're doing all that you can do without going beyond your limitations so that God can get real glory out of your life. See, humility requires us to start from the place of trusting God and saying to ourselves, God, I don't know if I can do what you're asking me to do, but I trust you. Empower me to do whatever you've given me to do. So if you've called me to minister in a congregation of people who do not look like me, then I have to trust that you're going to use that. If you have empowered me to minister to people who barely speak the same language as me, then God, you're going to empower me with the ability to minister to people who don't speak the same language. If you are going to put me in a place where people eat different types of food, then you're going to give me the grace, the ability to dine with those who dine differently than I dine. See, trusting in God is letting Him lead us into the field, into the harvest, into the place where we are gleaning souls for the kingdom of God. There is nothing more valuable than a human soul. And when we understand how valuable our soul is, then we stop selling ourselves short by allowing ourselves to be manipulated by doubt, worry, fear, unbelief, ignorance, prejudice, greed, bigotry. All of those things, they come as attacks of the devil to steal our reward, steal our inheritance, to steal our confidence, to limit our sphere of influence. And God wants us to know that we are on His unlimited plan. Unlimited power. unlimited ability, unlimited reach, unlimited influence, unlimited resources, unlimited finance, unlimited health. God's plan is not limited. That's the whole point. And see, I believe that scares many people. It scares people because it requires accountability. There are real things that we really must do if we're going to walk in the fullness of all of God's promises for our life. But if we decide that it doesn't take all of that, if we decide that well enough is good enough, if we decide that the way things are done today is just fine, then we're never going to please God the way that God wants to be pleased. When we say we love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we lie if we have conditions upon who we will fellowship with. We lie if we don't believe that people of certain races can be saved also. We lie if we endorse separating the graveyard even into the black section and the white section and the this section and the that section. It's absurd how far we've taken these ideas that almost suggest that people who are not like us are not even people, not going to heaven, can't be saved. That's a lie from the devil. And if the devil can get you to participate in his ruse, then he can gain legitimacy by saying, hey, good people endorse this nonsense. And if good people endorse this nonsense, you can't be that bad. Then the definition of what a good person is has to be considered, because God is not concerned about how good of a person you are by human standards. God wants to know, are you pleasing him? Because he sees all. God wants to know, are you serving him? Because he knows your agenda. He knows your every thought. God wants to know, are you trusting him? Or are you trying to replace him? Are you playing God by deciding what you will and will not do, as those who set themselves against God at the Tower of Babel did, when they decided that they were going to resist the purposes of God because they didn't want to be scattered over the face of the earth, when they saw that's clearly what God was doing. And God said, I'm impressed with what you've done. It's amazing that you could set yourself against me and think you could prevail, but I'm going to have to shut it down. And that's exactly what he did. And see, that's what's going to happen to you from a Christian. If what you're is resisting the purpose of God of creating a heavenly kingdom of many nations by being a racist, by being a bigot, by being prejudiced. See, it does not represent God to take what you think is right and replace what you think with, or replace what the Word of God says with what you think. As a matter of fact, what we're to do in order to be transformed according to the renewing of our mind, as it says in Romans 12:2, is we are to renew our mind to the Word of God so that we can be transformed in our mind, in our thinking, and take those old ways of thinking and behaving before we were saved, when we were newly saved, and we can study God's Word. We can ponder God's word. We can replace what we think, what we feel, what we've experienced, what we believe, what we stand for individually with what the Word of God says. We can come up and say, you know what? We're bigger than this. God is bigger than this. The kingdom of God is bigger than this. What I've been looking at in church for decades is not what God is talking about. And doesn't mean that the people in the church don't mean well. It is perfectly okay and good to be a civilized person, not abusing people openly and just taking what you want and meeting out justice for yourself and vengeance and everything else that you think you're entitled to. See, that's a welfare mentality, to believe that the world owes you something as if you did anything to deserve any of it at all. See, it's all God's. All of God's purposes will be fulfilled. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And if you don't fear the Lord, you're a fool. And so those of us who are ready to go to the next level with God, we got to get past the past. We got to get past the fact that at one point in time, our people group, our ethnicity, no matter what group it is, we have been dominated by people of other various people groups at some point in time during the past 6,000 years of human history. And understand that everyone has sat in that seat of power at one time. Everyone has been the slave at one time. And everyone has suffered abuse at the hands of some other individual as a group of people at some time. So now, we have to get past the anger. What I want to discuss individually tonight is something that is going to give you the tools, the spiritual equipment to be able to get past your anger so that you can then renew your mind to the Word of God and position yourself to glorify God so that, you know what, I'm not going to be a slave by fear anymore. I'm not going to be a slave by anger for past hurts, for things that just can't be changed. You can't undo the past. That's a fact. But you can change the way that you respond to things that have happened. It doesn't mean you have to pretend those things never happened, right? You're more aware of the world. Those things that happened did not destroy you, did not kill you, did not stop you. Definitely impacted you. But see, God is always preparing us for something greater. God allows the tribulation that comes in our life to be used to bring us more patience, more experience, more hope, so that His love can be shed abroad in our hearts, as it says in Romans 5, 1-5. It's the love of God that's shed abroad in our heart that allows us to transform our tribulation, our pain, our experience, our pain and suffering into patience and hope. And that is why loving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength is the beginning of obedience and submission to God. It's the beginning of positioning yourself to be blessed. It's the beginning of you choosing life over death. And then after that, choosing to really love yourself so that you never think of yourself as less than just because you're different. We're all different. There are things that have happened to me that I would never wish on someone else. And yet, those things haven't stopped me from being me. They have made me who I am. There is no other Lester Wiley Carver on the face of the planet that can do what I do, can be who I am, can represent what I represent in the earth, because there's only one me. See, God is that creative. God is that powerful, so that whoever you are, what God did with you, He only did with you, because He's showing off. He's positioning Himself to get so much glory out of you when you get past yourself, when you start by loving Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and demonstrating that by bowing down to His Son, Jesus Christ, as your Master. When you do that, that's the beginning of blessings for you. That's the beginning of a more than abundant life for you. That's the beginning of you deciding I'm not going to be limited mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially. I'm going to live a more than abundant life and be free to serve God however God has positioned you to be free. However God has positioned you to serve Him openly. But it starts by loving God, by bowing down to His Son, Jesus Christ, as your master. And His Son happened to be, He was spirit first. He was with God before anything else was, in the bosom of God as the Son of God. And then He was sent. He was sent to dwell here on earth. And when He dwelt here on earth, born of a virgin, He was a Semitic man of Jewish origin who was of, he was from Nazareth. He's from Nazareth, right? In the Holy Land, in Israel, right? And we all have been blessed by bloodline from Abraham and the covenant that God entered into with Abraham, saying that Abraham would be, that all families of the earth would be blessed through Abraham. That's a powerful thing. That's real. But if you're anti-Semitic, that's poison to you. If you're a racist, you got serious issues with that. As a matter of fact, you might even feel the need to go put up a blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus on a cross somewhere because you can't handle the fact that your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, your Master, was not that. You might even do something similar and put up an African Jesus with an Afro and dark skin in order to replace your level of discomfort with the fact that your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was a Semitic man of Jewish origin. And there is no place for that kind of pride, for that kind of ignorance in the body of Christ, because we want to call things as they are. The Bible isn't whatever we decide it's going to be. The Word of God was written in the stars before it was ever recorded or spoken. And when you understand that when we speak the Word, we are simply confirming and agreeing what God has established since the beginning of time. And when we don't speak what God has affirmed and established from the beginning of time, then we are making up our own Greek myth. We're making up our own religion. See, Jesus Christ set Himself against the doctrines of men from the beginning of time because they are poison to us. I want to give you an example before I get into these scriptures about anger. I was working on a carpentry project, and I was using a 2x4 to measure a bunch of other 2x4s that I was using to build a wall. And I used this one 2x4, and I marked the spot that I wanted to cut. And I cut it after I made the mark. But then I thought to myself, should I use the original stud that I used to make the first mark, or should I simply continue making marks from the successive studs? What I realized is that when you make a mark with one stud and then you use the second stud to make a mark with the third stud, and you use the third stud to make a mark with the fourth stud, you no longer have the original mark of the first stud. What you have is something that is three pen widths or pencil widths longer than the first original stud. the first template, the first mark. When we talk about missing the mark in the body of Christ, it's like that. The reason we always go back to the template of the Word of God, the first stud, the first line of demarcation, the first measurement, is because everything you might be tempted to add to what the Word of God says is going to be something other than the Word of God. It's going to add to what God said. So every line, every successive line, every other book you put on top of the Bible is going to be a little more beyond the original mark, and you're no longer going to have the Word of God. And that's what we've done in the body of Christ. That has resulted in us having a body of Christ that just doesn't look like the body of Christ. It looks like what people are comfortable with. And what people are comfortable with, quite honestly, is lack. They're comfortable with a lack of diversity, a lack of power, a lack of accountability, a lack of freedom to operate wherever we are, whoever God chooses to assign us to at the moment. See, there's a level of power that God has called us to, but here's what's going to stop that if we don't submit to the authority of the Word of God, is our anger. Look at what it says in James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Every man. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. See, have you ever seen injustice being done? And immediately you get indignant. And I know myself especially, as an African-American man, if I'm driving around and I see people who happen to be African-American being harassed by the police for something less than actual crimes, I'm offended. And if I see them being abused in the process of that, I'm even more offended. And yet, the Word of God says that I should be swift to hear, meaning I want to first pray to God for all of those people in the conflict. I want to hear what the Holy Spirit tells me to pray about that situation. Not that I'm going to ignore it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to reach into the heavenlies and I'm going to pray for grace. I'm going to pray for mercy. I'm going to intercede for those who are in that conflict. And then I'm going to be slow to speak. I'm going to mind my business. And lest the Holy Spirit tells me it's time for you to say something. It's time for you to stand up. It's time for you to be present. And there is a time to speak. And it says, slow to wrath. See, there are some people who are automatically ready to fight. They carry a chip on their shoulder. And you understand that the reference to that is when we were kids, if you were challenging someone in a fight, you put something on your shoulder and you dare the person who you wanted to fight you to knock it off. If they made the mistake of knocking the chip off of your shoulder, then you would knock them in the face, and that would be the beginning of the fight, and you'd see who won, right? Well, God is telling us we're to be slow to wrath, and the reason we're to be slow to wrath is because it says, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So if we know the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God, and God says that we're to seek first the righteousness of God, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to us, right? Why are we settling for less intentionally? When God is telling us right here that if you seek first the righteousness of God by rejecting the wrath of man, and you seek the kingdom of God, which is bigger than you think it looks like. It's bigger than people who look like you. It's bigger than people who speak your language. It's bigger than people who live in your country, your state, your city, your neighborhood. It's bigger than the people in your special club. The body of Christ is diverse, and it's huge, and it's lively. It is a heavenly kingdom of many nations, as God declared. All nations, all families of the earth have been, are being, and will be blessed through Abraham's covenant with God. And Abraham was of Semitic origin. He was a Jewish man. And people would say, well, that was before. Well, you know what? Yes, there was a division between his son Ishmael, who was over the Muslim nations, the 12 princes of Ishmael, and there was a division of he was of the Jewish nations. They are both of the same father, Abraham. They are Semitic in origin, and Ishmael had a mother who was Egyptian from Africa. Egypt is in Africa. Get that down in your spirit. In your and no, I'm not going to say that. That's not right. In your open spirit. And then understand that Sarah was Semitic. She was of Jewish origin. And these two birthed Ishmael and Isaac. And so we have to understand that all the families of earth had been blessed through God's covenant with Abraham. There is no room for racism in the body of Christ. And if we want to seek the righteousness of God and the kingdom of God, which is a heavenly kingdom of many nations, so that we can be blessed, right? Then we want to put away bigotry. We want to put away prejudice. We want to put away racism. And then we want to know what those things mean. See, racism is what I do to impact somebody else's life adversely because I don't like their race. Prejudice is how I feel about somebody who is different than me. I am prejudging them based on something bad or negative that I experienced in the past, and I am ascribing all people who are like the person who abused me with the same qualities and characters and that characterization. It's just not fair. It's not right. It's not true. Bigotry is just more foolishness where people assume that they're better than others because they don't understand how weak they actually are and how many conveniences they've experienced and advantages they have. And they oftentimes play themselves by elevating themselves in their mind to a place that they simply can't attain in reality. And that's why we have to make the Word of God real for ourselves so that the power we operate in is actual power of the Holy Spirit. It's not something we're talking about. It's not something that we're saying happened thousands of years ago. It's something that happened right now through us, through the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And it's real. And if it's real, then we don't have to put others down in order to be up because we're up naturally. We're seated in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus right now. So you don't have to put somebody down to be seated in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus now. But I'll tell you this, if you say you're saved and you say you're a Christian and you dare to put other Christians who are not like you down, you're not in agreement with God. You're not in agreement with the Word of God. You're not walking in the fullness of God's blessings for your life because you are the love of God that says God is getting glory out of all of us. says that all families of the earth have been blessed through Abraham. Says that there is no Jew, no Gentile, no Greek, no Scythian, no barbarian, no bond or free, no male or female even. It's, you know, you are a child of God first. We're to see no man according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So God, what God says, and this, you know, people use politics. Politics, this is politics season, right? People use politics to cause that kind of division that God abhors, that divides brethren among themselves over petty little ideas and ideologies that we have that we want to use to gain an advantage of others. But God is telling us he's operating such a great level that we have to come in agreement with what he is saying, with what he is doing. We got to get past our petty ideologies and come into agreement with him so that we can be blessed, so that we can bless others, so that we can really show the world what the love of God looks like. And we can be at peace knowing that our reward is intact, our purpose is being fulfilled. Look at what it says here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. It says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Pretty clear, right? Be angry and sin not. It's possible to be angry and not sin. You know how I know that? Was when Jesus Christ was in the temple and he turned over the tables of the money changers, he was angry about the type of mammon serving that was going on in the temple. And he turned over the tables of the money changers. He was angry, but it said, sin not. And we know that Jesus Christ was not sinning at the time when he turned over their tables, because, one, we know that Jesus Christ never sinned. And what they were doing was so out of line and offensive to God that it was offensive to him. So this verse says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Don't let something that happened in the past that you can't change steal your peace and cause you to dwell in a place of wrath, because we know the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. That's an important lesson to get. Look what it says in Proverbs 15:1. "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger," right? The words we speak are going to solicit a certain response. One thing I've learned in my many years, especially on Facebook and social media, is there are always two ways to say something, right? You can say that God loves you beyond measure when you make his son Jesus Christ your master. Or you can say the same thing differently. You can say that God rejects you if you reject his son Jesus Christ as your master. Now those are the same things, right? But they were said differently. Which one do you think you're going to receive? The first way I said it, right, is God loves you when you receive his son Jesus Christ as your master. But if I say the very same thing in the negative, and I say God rejects you when you openly reject his son Jesus Christ as your master, you're really doing that when you don't accept Jesus Christ as your master. You're rejecting him as your master. For whatever reason, you might not like the idea that he was a Jew. You might have a problem with that, which is a real problem, because unless you accept Jesus Christ, a Jewish man, as your master, then you can't come before the throne of God Almighty, his Father. That's all there is to that, right? You got to get past yourself. You got to get past your racism, past your bigotry, past your prejudice, past your knowledge of history. A bunch of stuff none of us can change, right? See, when we see what God is doing, it's not our business to judge what God is doing. It's our business to fall in alignment and harmony with the purpose of God and not rebel, but to see where the wind is blowing and move in that direction of the Spirit. One of the translations for wind in the Bible is Spirit, pneuma. Oh, man, goodness. Look at what it says here in Matthew 6:14. It says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." How real is that? Is that not enough to give you some peace? Is that not enough to remove some anger? Is that not enough to allow us to be restored in the way that we approach others that we have been mad at for so long? Right? There are blessings that God has for us that we must position ourselves to receive by simply falling in agreement with the word of God, so that we're no longer taken away from seeking the righteousness of God, seeking the kingdom of God, knowing that that kingdom is made up of many different people groups, many different nationalities, many different nations and languages. See, the 70 nations that exist are 70 nations that are ordained by God to be a heavenly kingdom of many nations. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And just like during the time of Babel, Tower of Babel, Babylon, they saw that the earth was moving and they decided they were going to try to resist the purpose of God and build the first city, build a wall, and then build a tower and make a name for themselves, right? That's what we do when we resist the purpose of God and we elevate ourselves in our mind and in pride. And I heard a gentleman say it like this. He said, "Don't believe your own hype." And that, it's a very important principle, because there is a difference between being confident, which we should all be, in the power of the Holy Spirit and God's faithfulness to us, right? There's a difference between being confident and being arrogance. What it does is it discounts the abilities of others in order to attempt to elevate self, in order to attempt to make yourself more than. And when you see yourself the way God sees you, you're not, you don't have these self-esteem issues of feeling less than, because you understand how God has created you. You understand why God has made you who you are. You understand the magnitude of the power of the Holy Spirit within you, and that you're unlimited and what you can do for God. So we have to grow past the past so that we learn to forgive men and women their trespasses, so that our Heavenly Father forgives us. And when you know what you've been forgiven for, then you are more enthusiastic about how you freely forgive others. And that's going to create some opportunities for you, because, and you know, it reminds me of the story of Jacob and Esau. And remember how Jacob stole Esau's birthright by deceiving his father and got the blessing from his father, right? And Jacob just gave his birthright, or Esau gave his birthright away because he was hungry after hunting and not catching anything. And Jacob made him some stew and fed him and in exchange for Esau's birthright. And Esau was ultimately upset about that. At one time, he was really going to kill him. And they ran into each other years later after they had herds and land, or herds and wives and all this kind of stuff. And Jacob was afraid, because he knew his brother had the ability to kill him. He had armies trained to kill, right? And So he submits himself to his son, or to his brother, rather, I'm sorry, his brother Esau. And Esau says, you don't have anything to worry about. He's like, all of that is water under the bridge. And that's how we have to become with one another. We have to allow whatever has happened by others and other ethnic groups to be forgiven of whatever that was. Not to make less of it than what it was, not to act like it never happened, but to say that what God did for all of us is more than any transgression that we have committed against one another. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone out tonight, God. Father, I thank you for you touching each and every one of our hearts, God, in such a way to allow us to fall in agreement and harmony with you and your word, God. Father, allow us to submit to the authority of your Son, Jesus Christ, as our Master, God, understanding that he was a Jewish man on earth of Semitic origin, God, and that it's impossible to be a Christian and be anti-Semitic, or to be a Christian and be racist, or to be a Christian and be a bigot, to understand that we are to grow so that the kingdom can truly reflect your heavenly kingdom of many nations, and allow us to glorify you on earth. Allow men to know us by our generosity, to know us by our love, to know us by our language, to know us by our ability to see beauty in everyone that you've created, and that we're all uniquely fashioned to get glory for you, to minister to those who you have appointed us to minister to, and to be open about the fact that all who seek you diligently will find you, no matter what language they speak, no matter what nation they come from, no matter what color they happen to be, no matter what neighborhood they happen to live in. God, I thank you for you just allowing us to grow in our thinking, to grow in the way that we practice our love walk toward you and our love walk toward ourselves, God. Father, allow any fear that we have to be removed, knowing that perfect love casts out, and that that absence of fear opens many opportunities so that we no longer have to be afraid of our brother, but we can walk in the fullness of the power of the grace and mercy that you have blessed us with, so that we can dispense mercy to others the way that you dispense mercy to us. I thank you for this right now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And as always, from Spirit Alive Network and your host, Lester Carver, be ye transformed. I would like to thank around the world who take time to listen to our program with the Spirit Alive Network, and just welcome you to invite others to listen to the programming of the Word of God that we have available for you. I know that we have such a blessed opportunity to have people from the United States, Canada, Mexico, Brazil, Greece, the Republic of Tanzania, Nigeria, France, the United Kingdom, Ireland, Mexico, Brazil, Peru, and all of those places that God has blessed the Spirit Alive Network with being able to make sure that these programs are shared. I thank you for your participation, and have a blessed week. Be ye transformed.